set our hearts to worship you and to praise you, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful weather that we're having. And Lord, we just ask, though, that you would minister to every heart and every life, Lord. And as we sing these songs of praise, God, we ask that you would be glorified. Lord, I pray for your joy to be the strength of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
Well, good morning. I'm looking out there at people, and I go over there, and I'm going to ask you to do something. Now, you can just say stick it in your ear, whatever you want to do, but everybody move into these two middle rows. I don't know if you've ever tried to preach to a group like this, but it's a pain, because I know pastor likes to keep eye contact, and I like keep eye contact, and you just can't do it when you've got people all over the place. And so if y'all move over here, there's room in the back row and everything. Well, pastor asked me to lead songs this morning, and I haven't done this for probably 30 years or better, and I don't know the new songs that they sing today, and so I'm going to have to sing old songs that I haven't sang for years, and so if I stumble along here and I misplay a chord, just kind of smile and keep on going, okay? But, I was talking to one of the people at the mission there and about getting up in the morning. You know, you can get up in the morning and stumble around. Oh, man. Or else you can hit the snooze and hit the snooze. I used to do that. And then I'd get up and I'd feel terrible. And so I finally said, this is stupid. So I'm getting up as soon as that alarm goes off. So I got to where I get up when the alarm goes off, or before when the alarm goes off. And I get up and first thing I'd say, good morning, God. Thank you for another day. Or else you can get up and say, oh man, I got to go to work. It's all where your frame of mind is. You can make yourself happy. You can make yourself feel lousy or whatever. But praise God, we're here today to lift up the name of Jesus and let him be glorified. And so let's put ourselves in a frame of mind that we're going to be happy. We're going to rejoice in who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And this is a day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. This is a day. Make you happy, boy, nothing will. Praise God. Now this is an old scripture we used to sing years ago. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return to Zion. Woo! Glory. And you know, that's the day we look for. We're going to get to go back to Zion, and we're going to have happiness and joy.
Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. I come a singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. I come a singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away.
You won't hurt my feelings if you clap along. I tell people I would much rather be down there doing what you're doing than I'm up here playing the bass or leading, because I can't worship the way I want to, because I got to try to read the words and read the music or see what I'm doing, and I'm not free to worship the Lord. And you know, if you go back and read in Psalms, it says to shout with joy. It says to clap your hands. It says to play the tambourine and make a lot of noise. And so we can have a good time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I about wore this song out whenever I first heard it. I just gotten saved, and the pastor started asking me to lead some worship and song. We called it song service back then. You know, and I heard this song, and man, it just made me leap with joy. I was a sinner, and I got saved, and he changed my life, he changed my direction, and there was a brand new name written down in glory. It was mine. It was mine. Hallelujah.
I was once a sinner, but I came on to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found
he always kept.
Yeah. yes, it's mine. And the white robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Well, there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Oh, yes, there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Story. A sinner has come home. Well, there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. You know, in this world today, it's good to know that there's something that you can depend on. You know, you can't depend on the government. Can't depend on the education system. It's all a mess, I'm sorry. But there's one that you can depend on. That's Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's a rock that we can stand on. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy. Glory to your holy name. for our sins and the redemption that was paid there, that we brought back out of the grips of Satan and out of hell. But there was so much more done that day. He paid for our healing. We think, well, yeah, you know, I got the flu and I got this and I got that. But healing was paid for all parts of us. It was paid for our body, our mind, and our emotions, our spirit. A lot of people have broken spirits today. And oh, how sad that is. But he paid for the healing for all that whenever he went to the cross that day. On the cross, crucified, in great sorrow he died. The giver of life is he. Yet my Lord was despised and rejected of men, this Jesus of Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Price for healing was paid, as those cruel stripes were made within Pilate's judgment hall. Now his suffering affords perfect healing for all, this wonderful healer's mind. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth
There's just something about that name, Master.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, church. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Gary and Paula.
Yeah.
Can we give them a clap, just a thanks, thanking them for singing? You may be seated. God bless you. So good to be together here at Neighborhood Church. And we have obviously a number of people who are just away and out of town right now. We're going to pray for Pastor Tom and Don. I think they're ministering to a motorcycle group east of the mountains again.
Wenatchee.
Jenny, Carly's. Just we have a lot of people that are out of town and stuff. But God is good. We need to pray for the Shoemate family. They were hit with COVID here this week. They are doing good overall and making improvements. Millie was in the hospital too for other issues before that, and she's home now and doing well. But we're going to take these requests to the Lord and then just trust the Lord for his goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you so much for the family of God. And Lord, right now we lift up the Shoemate family. We thank you for Floyd and Millie, for Scott and Tanya, for even Leroy. Lord, we love Leroy. But Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon them. God, that you would touch them and even Shayla and the baby. And Lord, we just pray for your healing touch in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Connie Penio and the Foster family. I think even they're dealing with some COVID issues, God. And we just pray for your ministry of the Holy Spirit to go into their homes right now and touch them by the grace of God in Jesus' name. And Lord, for Pastor Tom and Donna as they're ministering, Lord, to a motorcycle group in Wenatchee, we pray for your anointing to rest upon them, Lord, that you would use them to reach the hearts of those who need to hear the gospel. And Lord, keep your hand upon them. And Lord, for those who are traveling on vacations or whatever they're doing, we pray for your protection, your mercy and grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. We have a few announcements to make here this morning. I believe Jenny Carley, who has a bulletin? I don't have the right bulletin. Who's got a bulletin that I could borrow? I believe Jenny Carley's birthday is today, so if you have her number or Facebook, or you could reach out to her, let her know that she's going to have a happy birthday. And tomorrow, Tanya Shoemate's having a birthday along with my daughter Joy, and she's growing too fast. Alan Shores, happy birthday coming up here as well, here in the middle of the week, I believe. This coming Tuesday, we're still having our Bible study for the women's at 1 p.m. And also next Sunday, very important, we have a somewhat short notice here. Pastor Tom and Terry are going to be the chief barbecue chefs. And we're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs here. And all that we ask, if you're able to come, to bring a side salad, potato salad, macaroni, I don't care what kind of salad you bring. Potato chips. Keep it simple, even. Potato chips, and bring your own drinks. If you like a certain kind of pop or juice, we always have water and coffee here, but if you could bring your own drink, and we're just going to have a time of fellowship and to be together and enjoy God's company together. It's the day before the 4th of July. And also, was that next Sunday? It is the next Sunday. All right. Just making sure and that we are still having Bible study on Wednesday nights at 6:30. And so if you're able to come, we would love to see you. And that's all the announcements I have for this morning. So we're going to get right into the Word of God here. I know you're anxious to get out into that 90-degree weather, however warm it's going to be. Amen. Some people are really happy for that. We are going to be in the Gospel of John chapter 4 this morning. John chapter 4 this morning. And the title for my message is Thirsty No More. Thirsty No More. I just remembered one prayer request. We're going to pray for Debbie Pena. Somebody requested prayer for her. Lord, we pray for Debbie Pena. Lord, with whatever is taking place in her life, we pray for healing and a miracle. Lord, I have some other friends, Lord. Kenny and Barb, that we're fighting COVID too, I pray for healing in their bodies as well, in Jesus' name, amen. Thirsty no more. This is a very famous, well-known passage of Jesus meeting a woman at the well. As I get into this story, I know that for our country, this was a monumental week, and we have a lot of interesting things taking place. I'll just say, as somebody, as I shared last week, that doctors had tremendously encouraged my mother to abort me under incredible pressure. I am so thankful that she made that choice to follow through. And as somebody who's adopted four children by God's grace, I have a little bit of a, you know, like, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our country. That being said, this message is going to address part of our response to people, because people are hurting and broken out there, church. I love the songs that you sang, Gary. Just loved the songs that we sung this morning. Very wonderful. And so, Thirsty No More, how do we minister to people? Because people are broken. Amen? I do want to say, too, bringing up the Roe v. Wade thing briefly, the church, we always need to remember that God saved us. I was a sinner, saved by grace. And you know what? There is no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. If there is someone in here, if you've had an abortion, multiple abortions, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. Maybe there's nobody. Either way, Jesus loves you, and there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. All of us, if we could see the depth and depravity of our sin in light of the glory of God, there is not a one of us that would point a finger at anybody else to try to cause them to have shame and to feel like they are beyond being reached by the grace of God. And that's an important message for us to always remember as a Christian, to realize, Lord, you saved me. Lord, in the worst of my worst, you saved me and you have changed me. And Jesus gives us a beautiful picture of how to reach out to people who are broken in this world. Thirsty no more. John chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, reading out of New King James this morning. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. There's a lot in these first four verses here. The Jewish people and the Samaritans, they did not have interactions with each other very much. There was incredible cultural barriers. There's a barrier here that we're going to run into, that this woman, Jesus talks to a woman, men and women. What Jesus is about to do in his conversation, rabbis, spiritual leaders, men just did not have conversations with women like this. And also we're going to learn that this woman was living in adultery. So there's huge, massive barriers, let alone that if somebody wanted to get from southern Judea, the southern part of Israel, up into Galilee, they would go around Samaria to avoid Samaritans. There's a lot of parallels that we can see today. The Samaritans were hated by the Jewish people. The reason why is there were 10 northern tribes in Israel. There was 12 tribes of Israel that made up that little country. The 10 northern tribes were taken captive by the Assyrians. And as a result of that captivity, the Assyrians began to intermarry with those 10 northern tribes of Israel. And so the Jewish southern tribe began to look at the northern tribes as like half-breeds. I don't know how else to word it, that they were no longer pure Jewish Israel people of God. And so there was a lot of animosity, a lot of hostility, avoiding going through Samaria. But when Jesus was going to go to Galilee, he's like, you know what? But I have to go through Samaria. Easy for us to read that verse 2,000 years later, but are there areas in our life that we would much rather avoid, or possibly even do avoid, because we would not rather deal with a conflict? We'd not rather deal with difficult situations. We don't want to deal with porcupine issues, so to say. He's like, I'm just not in the mood, so I'm going to go along by the coast where it's nice and breezy and cool, and then we'll get back to the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, he had a mission to reach people. And so instead of avoiding Samaria and all that it represented, I'm sure his disciples were like, we've never gone this way before, Lord. And we always walked around from the time I'm a little boy. We don't like those Samaritans. We can't stand them. I try not to bring politics, but it'd be like, if you're Republican, you're going through Democrat area. If you're a Democrat, you're going through Republican area. And it's a fair illustration somewhat of the hostility that's between people. I will tell you, I have many Republican friends and I have a handful of Democrat friends, and I am thankful that I'm able to have friends on both sides. Yeah. And it will be a challenge to your relationship with the Lord. It's one thing to know somebody who's of the opposite belief systems on different issues as you, but can you be their friend? I'm challenging you to say, can you be their friend and dialogue with them? Jesus is going to give us a beautiful example here, because listen, in heaven, labels fall off. Amen. There's neither male nor female, nor Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. In heaven, the labels fall off, because only Christ is what matters. And I will say this as well, in hell, labels don't matter anymore. There's going to be a whole boatload. I'll say this sadly. There will be a whole boatload of Republicans and Democrats in hell, possibly. If the attitude's wrong, their persuasion's wrong, their belief system's wrong, you can be right on moral issues, but if you are not in a true relationship with Jesus Christ, a pastor friend told me that he does this at funerals often. He says, you know what, when we get to heaven, there's going to be two surprises. The first surprise is you're going to see a whole lot of people out there that you thought in your mind wouldn't make it. And the second surprise is there's going to be a whole lot of people possibly that you are absolutely certain were going to be there that aren't there. And so Jesus here, he has to go through Samaria. He's not going to avoid this area. There are so many barriers here that he is crossing over. Let's read verse 5 here. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, he sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour or noon. And Jesus said to her, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, asks a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." This woman comes at noon, not the time of day. We're going to get out of church here before noon even. It's going to be hot outside. This woman is there at noon. She's not expecting to have a Jewish rabbi, a teacher, approach her and ask for a drink. She is startled by this question. How many people in our society and culture would be startled if a Christian actually courteously asked them a question or talked to them? How often do we allow there to be cultural divisions and, yes, moral divisions in our society where we begin to treat people as if they have nothing they can offer us? They're an outsider. Jesus says, "Could you give me a drink?" Evangelism 101, be approachable. Don't automatically cut people off as if they have nothing good to share in your life or to share to benefit you. Now, Jesus is using this as a device, so to say, not in a bad way, to draw her to himself, but he says, "Hey, do you have a drink? I'm thirsty." Be approachable and be willing to even receive help in a particular area that you might need help in. She is startled. "Why are you talking to me? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why do you ask me for the water?" Jesus is breaking barriers down here of hatred, strife, and animosity. When you're approachable and we will simply dialogue with people, it begins to break down some barriers. I do thankfully hear people on TV and even on the internet talking about that we need to do some listening sometimes. Amen. Talk. Share your story. If you hear of somebody who's living in sin, rather than automatically just, "Man, I'm going to get my big billboard out and you're all going to hell," why not say, "Would you please share your story? How did you get to where you're at? What's going on?" You might learn something. I might learn something. Amen? And so here Jesus is asking for this drink of water. She is shocked, and he says to her, "If you knew who it is who's speaking to you, you would have asked him for living water." You see, this woman's going to a well. Every day she's got to go there. She's going at noon. She's ashamed. That's not when people go to get water all the time. She's an outsider. She's an outcast. She doesn't fit in. And we'll find out why here in a few brief moments. But Jesus there, he offers her and tells her that he is the one who gives living water. Church, have you drinking of the living water that Jesus has to offer? The living water of his grace? The living water of his mercy? The living water of his kindness? Gary was talking about broken spirits. People are broken in this world. Amen. And you're here on a hot, sunny day. Yes, we have some air conditioning that's kind of working here. But think about the living water that Jesus has given to you of his acceptance and not rejection. That when you were hiding in your sin and you thought that all hope was lost, that God poured out his grace upon your life and reached out to you in your sin to say, "You know what? I love you too much to leave you where you're at. I have wonderful plans for you." I tell you what, that is living water that we partake of hope, grace, mercy. You mean I'm not a lost cause? You mean, God, you haven't given up on me? That is a spiritual water that satisfies our soul. And Jesus is telling this lady that he is the source of that spiritual water. And what is her response to this? The woman says to him in verse 15, "Sir, if you, where I got my glasses here. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." And Jesus says to her, "Go and call your husband and come here." call your husband. Jesus doesn't avoid sin, but sometimes I feel like that we've seen this through the eyes of a religious glasses, so to say. Go and call your husband. And I've heard it preached, and possibly I have preached, that, see, Jesus isn't going to avoid the sin issue. He's going to make her face her sins. But I want to give you some different thoughts about this of possibilities. Why did Jesus tell her to go and call your husband? Was it because he wanted to point out her sin? Or was it possibly because she felt like she was a lost cause? She said, "Sir, I have no husband." And Jesus then, prophetically, he's the Son of God, anointed the Holy Spirit, says, "Woman, you're right, you have no husband. In fact, you've had 5 husbands, and the man that you're now living with is not your husband." I don't believe he said this to try to shame her, to put her down. I believe this woman, she's the town gossip. She was the gossip of the town. I believe quite possibly she was deeply ashamed. She had lost hope. She was despairing, cynical of men, incredibly broken by her sin. The religious could only look down on her, probably talk about her as if she had no hope. They never took the time to lift her up, but Jesus saw a different picture. Go and call your husband. Here she is standing in the presence of the Son of God, who knows everything about her. Some people say that, let's see how she responds to this here. Go and call your husband. Verse 20, or verse 19, the woman says to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for God is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Wow. All right. So the way I've heard this preached, and I possibly teached it too, that Jesus brings up the sin issue to basically confront her with her sin. I will say it is a great possibility. But I truly believe anyone who's been married 5 times has long, they feel like they're lost. They've given up all hope. Husband number 1, husband number 2. You walk down the aisle the 3rd time, is it really going to work this time? No, that one didn't work. Husband number 4, we don't know what happened to these guys and these marriages. And now she had husband number 5, and even that one failed. Think about how this lady felt. And now she's living with a guy, giving up on even the possibility of getting married because she's like, what's the use? Look at the first 5 guys. Is it possible that people in the town look down on her as if it was all her fault and she is the one who should be ashamed because, man, lady, you've gone through 5 husbands. Look at what you've done. And now you're with number 6. And lady, you're hopeless. Jesus saw the whole story. How often when we see people in their sin do we only see part of the story? We see the sin there, and they're drinking alcohol, they're drugs, or they're doing different lifestyle choices that they're making, and all we see is the surface of what's happened. We don't see the brokenness or understand it yet. Does it mean that we condone sin? No. But Jesus saw the whole picture. You see, he knew how husband number 1, husband number 2, 3, 4, and 5 had treated this woman. He knew why she was the way that she was. Some people say, well, she was feeling convicted and she sought to divert Jesus away from the husband issue. Hey, you say that we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem, but we worship here. What do you say? I want to put another spin on this possible diversion, but we learn this about this woman who's a sinner, that she is actually deeply interested in spiritual issues. It's quiet in here. Maybe it's supposed to be quiet because I'm not, again, I don't have the handkerchiefs going and stuff like this. I want us to think, church, because I want the Lord to use us to reach people. Yes. And when you see the D for Democrat, or you see the LGBTQ and all the alphabet stuff on that, we see labels. And yes, we can see, or R's for Republicans.
and we see people labeled and categorized, and automatically, whether we acknowledge it or not, we've made judgments about them as a person, and automatically we've raised up barriers where we're not even hardly able to communicate with them anymore to share the living water that they so desperately need. And here this woman that probably the religious community didn't even give her the time of day, she has to go get water at noon. Here we learn that she is actually deeply interested in spiritual matters, possibly. And Jesus answers her, hey, lady, woman, not a derogatory term, there's coming a time when you're not going to worship in Jerusalem, nor yet on the mountain of Samaria, for the Father is seeking for such to worship him in spirit and truth. He is looking for worshipers. Jesus. Lord, I pray that she would open her eyes, Lord, and give us a hunger to reach out to people. I know that when the Messiah is coming in verse 25, who is called the Christ, when he comes, he'll tell us everything. He'll explain everything. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I can just imagine, church, a radical transformation. Can you imagine? This is startling because the men would have thought that Jesus, the Messiah, should have revealed himself to them. But here, instead of avoiding these Samaritans, he goes and he knows there's a woman going to show up at noon. A woman! And a woman who's been divorced 5 times, lived with a man extremely broken and ignored by society undoubtedly. And here Jesus reveals himself as her Messiah. Her response is outstanding at this point. His disciples came and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek her? Why are you talking with her? And the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they went out of the city and they came to him. She became an evangelist. Didn't go to Bible school, didn't go to seminary, maybe she knew more scripture than we give her credit for, but she left that water pot, she left her shame, and she went back to that city. I don't know about the men, if they had known me, I don't know, but she's like, guys, I met somebody. He knew me through and through. I want to tell you, I have seen in services of the Lord when the Lord is ministering by the Spirit of God and yes, the Word of God, but when the Lord brings that gift of discernment, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, these are spiritual gifts. When the Lord is ministering, that you know what? He knows the heart of each and every one of us. And there is nothing more disarming than to be filled with the love of God and to have the Lord move in that gift, where people know that, you know what, Jesus sees me. He sees me. He knows me. He cares about me. He didn't walk around my part of the town to avoid me. No, you're a lost cause. No, he loves me. Guys, come and see. This guy told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? In the meantime, verse 31, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. I love this. The disciples are clueless. I love that. Why? It gives me hope. Church, sometimes we're clueless. And I say that in the greatest love. We're clueless on what the gospel is really for, how to reach other people. We're clueless about eternal spiritual matters that truly matter the most. The disciples are thinking, has Jesus had a hamburger? I mean, who brought him a meal? And Jesus, like, guys, I got food to eat you don't know anything about yet. What kind of food are you talking about? It's the food of doing the will of my Heavenly Father and finishing his work. It's the will of not avoiding Samaria. No, it's going right through the middle of that, breaking down those barriers and those walls and not allowing the hostility, the division, the anger, not allowing labels to cut me off from the opportunity to even reach out to others, because we have spiritual living water to offer to people. Broken people are broken. Yeah. And so his food is to do the will of the Father. Jesus is the living water, and he is the living bread of heaven. when you do God's will, I want to tell you, it brings a satisfaction and a joy that there is no pleasure in this world can even come close to satisfying. Gary and Paula have given their lives up, 35 years at least coming up soon, just to serving the Lord's people, those who are cast aside, the neglected, the forgotten. And you know what? It's food for the soul. You say, well, what about me? Jesus has food for you as well. And when you do his will and you just say, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to love my enemies. I want to pray for people who don't see eye to eye for me. Lord, I want to reach out to the bruised and the broken. Lord, I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to put you first in my life, Lord, make you my priority. As you do that, it's spiritual food that satisfies your soul. Verse 35, Jesus says, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored, but you have entered into their labors. That's a mouthful, I realize. What's the point? Jesus was saying, they looked at Samaria, it's not ripe for harvest. In our culture, in our society today, all people see is division, hostility, and they're buying into the division of separating one group from another. It's not harvest time. Things are just getting worse. Civil war, whatever. This is just horrible. And I say, yeah, there's a lot of horrible stuff. But for us who are the church of Jesus Christ, we need to see opportunity where others only see problems. Because this world is so tired and weary and broken and thirsty. There's nothing this world has to offer, church. The only thing that this world truly needs is they need the gospel of Jesus Christ, his living water, his living bread. Don't say there's 4 more months. No, the harvest is ripe. Pray for laborers to enter into that harvest field. Many of the Samaritans, verse 39, of that city then believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And Jesus stayed there for 2 days. That'd be like going to a liberal university or something. I don't know. That'd be like going to some place that you thought, no, there is no hope for that place. That's where possibly where Pastor Tom and Don are at right now. Hey, will you please stay 2 more days? They sensed that living water. They wanted it. And it says, verse 41, then many more believed because of Jesus' own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I want to wrap this up, church, with just a few reminders. Thirsty no more. Jesus, rather than avoiding Samaria, he broke down those barriers that were set up. They had been there for hundreds, if not 1,000 years or more, between the Samaritans and the tribe of Judah. He didn't avoid that route. He went right into the heart of the town. He offered the woman living water. She undoubtedly felt like she was beyond any hope of any repair. If you're here in this sanctuary or watching, if you feel like that you're broken beyond repair, I just want to share the good news of Jesus. He loves you. He died for your sin. He doesn't condemn you. He wants to save and to rescue us, church. If you need and want that living water, Jesus is offering it to you. You may feel like, I don't measure up. I need to clean up my life. This woman had 5 husbands, all divorced, and she was living with a man. Don't I have to get my act together? Jesus, just come to him. Receive his gospel. Yes, we repent of our sins, but his living water is for you. For us, if you're walking with the Lord, what is your Samaria? Is it Democrats, Republicans? Is it the LGBTQ? What is your Samaria? Is it the druggies? I don't know. Where is your Samaria? And would you pray to say, Lord, would you help me to be spirit-led and give me courage to no longer just look at labels and automatically cast people aside as hopeless, Oh, there's no hope for them. No, help me to remember that, Jesus, if there was hope for this guy, there's hope for everybody. Lord, they are not going to be reached, Lord, if I am automatically just cutting them off as hopeless. No, I need to offer them living water. Jesus, open up the conversation. Could I have a drink, please? What? It kind of reminds me of another story, and I'm closing now. Jesus, why are you eating with publicans and sinners? Those that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. Now, I will say, well, we won't go down that road too far. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I do thank you for the decision the Supreme Court made this week. Lord, to protect the unborn. Lord, to protect the potential, the future of all that those babies represent. Lord, I pray for all the women involved, Lord, perhaps those who've had an abortion, I pray that they would come to a place where they find Christ, that they would find forgiveness, healing, restoration somehow. Lord, I pray that you would give the Church of Jesus Christ incredible grace, Lord, to reach out in this day and this age, not just on that issue, Lord, but Lord, that we would reach out to people and see beyond the cultural barriers that are being raised up every day. That, Lord, that we would daily drink of your living water, that we would daily partake of your living bread. Lord, that then what we offer to others, Lord, that they would find that that is the very satisfaction and nourishment of their soul that they so desperately need, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together, church. Jesus, we thank you for your example of what you've given to us, Lord. And Lord, I pray for not only Neighborhood Church, Lord, but for those watching, and Lord, for the other churches, Lord, in this area and across this nation, that you would give us courage. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to partake of that living water once again and then begin to share it with others, in Jesus' name. With every eye closed and heads bowed this morning, I know we're family here, but perhaps you can identify with the woman in the story, and you have felt most often, Lord, I'm so hopeless. Lord, I feel like a lost cause because no matter how hard I try, it just ends up in failure. This morning, if you need Jesus and you want to partake of that living water where you thirst no more, would you raise your hand, a man or a woman in here, I don't care who, but you just say, Lord, I want that living water. Anybody here? Jesus, amen. Let's pray, church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this one who raised their hand. I pray for those who are watching possibly. Jesus, I thank you that there are no lost causes with you. Lord, I pray that they would receive of that grace, that they would come to you. Lord, may they find that place of repentance. And Lord, where does that place come? It's when we finally partake of that living water. Lord, then we lose the taste for the things of this world because only you satisfy. Lord, I ask for your grace to just be showered down upon us as your people. Give us favor. Help us, Lord, to reach out to those, and Lord, not to avoid our Samarias, but Lord, that we would walk through them with the gospel, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. I pray that you enjoy the heat as best as you can. Don't worry, the rain's coming back sometime this week. If you need prayer for anything, we are more than willing to pray. I do need Gary and Tim.